Politics is a very dirty game. And, I just didn't realize just how dirty it was. And now I know firsthand how dirty it is, and I don't like it. And I don't think that our leaders or anybody that's running our country, whether it's at the municipal, the provincial, or the federal levels, or even our institutions, I don't think they should be behaving the way that they are. And they don't deserve to be in a position of power because it's not the way that things should be run. Why do people have to play dirty? Why can't you just have a conversation? Why does everyone try to manipulate one another? Why is there so much corruption going on behind the scenes? It's like everybody forgot what it was like to humanity, love thy neighbor. It's like people just don't do that anymore. Everyone is just so self-absorbed these days, I find, and it's all about me, me, me. And they really don't care about their fellow human anymore. And so, I decided I was going to get back into politics. And, I'm not one of those people that just follow along. I don't play into their political posturing. I don't believe in, giving special groups any kind of special treatment, special interest groups. I don't believe in, catering to anyone. I believe that, what, we should be in a state of neutrality and we should really help one another. And I see that that's not happening. So I've decided, you know what? I'm not a sheep. I'm not just going to go follow what everyone else is doing to keep my job or to make other people happy. And I don't care what kind of names that they're calling me because I know that nobody has this hold over me. And I'm going to stay honest. I'm going to stay true to my beliefs. And to, my constituents who call me up and say, "Hey, Lisa, you know what? We need help with this." And it's the best thing that's really ever happened to me, even though, I'm being attacked in every direction, as we're going to get into. I was put in this position for a reason, and everything that has happened in my life has brought me to this very moment in time, and I couldn't be more happy to be where I am.
I'm delighted to introduce our guest, Lisa Robinson. Lisa is a Pickering, Ontario City Councillor, and she's joining us this evening to discuss and expose the abusive treatment she's enduring as a member of the council, which includes threats and sexual harassment. She has faced intense opposition by Mayor Kevin Ash and her fellow councillors, and she's been openly ridiculed and treated with contempt, as well as falsely accused of offenses she did not commit. Recently, Lisa's fellow councillors voted to involve the Ontario Human Rights Commission, asking for her removal from public office in an effort to silence her. And yet, Lisa continues to be committed to representing the values of her constituents who voted her into office. We are so grateful that Lisa is standing up against this big bully government, and we are thrilled that she can join us tonight. Will you all please help me welcome Lisa Robinson? Lisa, thank you for joining us, and welcome to the Empower Hour.
Thank you so much for having me today. This is great.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Heather. Well, Lisa, it's good to have you on the show. I've known of you for quite some time because we have a very active chapter leader, Terry Recker, who is in your district. And recently, she also did a deputation on your behalf at City Council because we've been horrified watching your story unfold since you got elected and using the democratic system. I mean, there was a majority of people who wanted to see you in office. And so what I'd like to do to start the show, I mean, your story is huge and what you go through on a daily basis. I'm going to encourage people right now to look up your Twitter, Life Liberty Lisa. And because Lisa, she does some special versions of what goes on in, on City Council, exposing the corruption and what it is that she's going through. So we'll start the show. I'd like to hand it over to you so that you can tell us what made you decide to run for office, when you were elected, and an overview of what your journey has been like. So I'm just going to hand that over to you now.
Oh, that's great. Thank you so much. And yes, Terry is an incredible woman. Her deputation was really, really amazing. It was just great to have her stand up there and, speak to everybody, all the great people that showed up on my behalf that day. It was really a blessing. I really do appreciate her. She's gone through a lot with me. So to go back, I guess, to the beginning of when I first started my journey in politics, I guess back in 2017, 2018, I decided to run an election then. And unfortunately, I lost by 174 votes. But the thing that really bothered me at the time was it was the first time that Pickering was using Dominion voting systems. And during that time, on the actual day of the vote, the system went down. So you could only vote by telephone or by internet. On the actual voting day, the system went down, which means people lost their democratic right to vote. Why? Because there was no paper ballot backups. So how can you make sure and that everything was on the up and up if there's no way to double check any kind of mistakes? And I'm all about making sure that, everything is kept honest. So myself and some other people decided we were going to try and take the city to court. Well, you know what? Their heavy hitting lawyers came after us and said, you know what, Lisa, if you don't drop this lawsuit, then you know what? You're going to end up losing your house because the legal fees are going to be over $200,000. So, of course, that was not my hill to die on. Everybody else that was on the actual lawsuit with me on the application, they all said, "Okay, forget it. You know what? We're gonna get off of this." So, of course, I had to too. So that happened, and I didn't like that. It left a very sour taste in my mouth that people can just bully you because you know what? They have more money, they have more power, and I don't think that's the way that any kind of government should be running. I think it just should be full of transparency and honesty, and bullying people is not the way to do it. So at that point, I decided to go and get my paralegal license. So I went back to school. And then I graduated with honors with my paralegal. And the reason why I did that was because I thought, you know what, the next time they want to take me to court, I should be able to handle myself better. So that was amazing. I graduated. And as I was graduating, COVID hit. So I was the first class I had to write her law society exam over an online. So I did that and I passed and became a member of the law society. And then I hopped right back into an election again. But before I did that, as we all know, throughout COVID there, everybody was losing their jobs for the mandates and whatnot. And I thought this was really disgusting. It was horrific. You have nurses, doctors, anyone who didn't want to get the COVID shot, they were all losing their jobs. People, as we all know, weren't allowed to go into restaurants. You couldn't get on a train. You couldn't fly. You couldn't do anything. And I thought that this was really, really horrible. So I started using what I had just learned for good. So since a lot of people were looking for paralegals to sign the NOLs, and I know that Action for Canada was also doing NOLs. I started speaking up at Queen's Park and speaking to the people, and I put my services out there for free. So then, for over 2 years, I started working for free for the people, doing everything I could possibly do when somebody was losing their jobs or if they were being mistreated, let's say. And in fact, even now, I'm still doing a lot of work for free if anyone needs to have anything signed, like pertaining to the children right now who are getting expelled from school because, they're not up to date on any of their vaccines or, parents don't want to give their children vaccines anymore. You have to sign a statement of conscious or religious belief. So I'm actually offering that service for free right now as well for anyone in Durham. And I have people come over to my house and I offer that service for free. So it has been quite a journey. And then I jumped into the election, as I said, and I ended up winning the election. So I have been an elected official now for about 18, 19 months. And that has been a real journey, too, because I mean, I always knew that corruption was a dirty game. Everybody always says, politics is a very dirty game. And, I just didn't realize just how dirty it was. And now I know firsthand how dirty it is, and I don't like it. And I don't think that our leaders or anybody that's running our country, whether it's at the municipal, the provincial, or the federal levels, or even our institutions, I don't think they should be behaving the way that they are. And they don't deserve to be in a position of power because It's not the way that things should be run. Why do people have to play dirty? You know, why can't you just have a conversation? Why does everyone try to manipulate one another? Why is there so much corruption going on behind the scenes? It's like everybody forgot what it was like to humanity, you know, love thy neighbor. It's like people just don't do that anymore. Everyone is just so self-absorbed these days, I find, and it's all about me, me, me. And they really don't care about their fellow human anymore. And so, you know, I decided I was going to get back into politics. And, you know, I'm not one of those people that just follow along. I don't play into their political posturing. I don't believe in, you know, giving special groups any kind of special treatment, special interest groups. I don't believe in, you know, catering to anyone. I believe that, you know what, we should be in a state of neutrality and we should really help one another. And I see that that's not happening. So I've decided, you know what, I'm not a sheep. I'm not just going to go follow what everyone else is doing to keep my job or to make other people happy. And, you know, and I don't care what kind of names that they're calling me because I know that nobody has this hold over me. And I'm going to stay honest. I'm going to stay true to my beliefs. And to, you know, my constituents who call me up and say, "Hey, Lisa, you know what? We need help with this." And it's the best thing that's really ever happened to me. Even though, you know, I'm being attacked in every direction, as we're going to get into, I was put in this position for a reason, and everything that has happened in my life has brought me to this very moment in time, and I couldn't be more happy to be where I am. You know what? I know, but you know what? Everything happens for a reason. I'm a firm believer in that. And you know, I'm glad I actually lost back in because I really needed to have my eyes opened. And right now, my eyes wouldn't be opened if I didn't decide to go and try and become a paralegal. Because the schooling that they give you as a paralegal, I found was something that I really needed. You know, I feel like I've been lied to my whole entire life, you know, and being out there and being able to do research right now is because they taught me how to look at both sides of the story. And so, you know, normally, you know, you're only told one side of the story, and that's what you believe. But like, you know, going and getting my paralegal, it helped me research so I could find the truth. And, you know, it really kicked off my critical thinking skills is what it did. And so I'm very actually thankful that I didn't win that election back then, or else I would not be a strong individual woman as I am today if I hadn't have. Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, this is not my video, first of all. When I got my hands on it, I was like, wow, you know, because there are so many videos out right now that show the bullying, that show like, you know, the mayor yelling. And I mean, he does a lot of yelling. And you know, you try and ask questions and I'm shut down constantly, or you know, delegations are speaking, and if he doesn't like what they're saying, and if he tells them like, you know, out of order, or like, you know, sit down and shut up, and they refuse to, well, they end up getting a trespass notice. But after he yells at them, I mean, I've heard this yelling going back and forth, And then, like, you know, the mayor seems to think that it's all my problem, like, you know, that I'm the one bringing these problems to council, whereas it's not. I think it's just that people are beginning to see how corrupt a lot of these councils are. I mean, it's not just happening in Pickering. It's happening everywhere. So people are starting to be more and more engaged. And of course, you know, I'm getting blamed for people being engaged and not liking what their council is doing and how they're doing stuff behind their back. So I guess I'm blamed for everything. Yes. Yeah. Perfect.
This is how violent Brenner can be when he thinks no one is listening. Who is he referring to in the conversation? Hint, could he be referring to Pickering's strong mayor Kevin Ash?
I'm just figuring out how I can sharpen my sword and decapitate the mother.
They looked at it through the lens of diversity. I'm not able to tell, is that mannequin Caucasian or non-Caucasian?
I would have to, through you, Mayor Ash, I would have to verify with museum staff. However, I do believe it is a Caucasian mannequin.
Did they look at the, but you're not sure and I'm not sure. So I guess what I'm saying is I don't have a problem supporting the report tonight with the exclusion of that mannequin.
Is Councillor Brenner suggesting that if a mannequin is determined to be a Caucasian mannequin, that it has no relevance to the history of Pickering and should be discarded?
You and I had a conversation in your chambers, and you were the one who directly told me that Councillor Brenner was having a very busy weekend running around gathering signatures.
I don't recall that conversation.
Of course you don't.
He doesn't recall the conversation. Wow, is he experiencing memory loss again?
But I'm also not surprised by the fact that this is being hosted by two community associations from Ward 1. Why is that important? Because that's what I believe in, ladies and gentlemen. I believe in community building. Our city is beautiful. We've got so much potential. But we've got, unfortunately, a lot of challenges ahead of us.
I'm just figuring out how I can sharpen my sword and decapitate the mother.
I will also be speaking about sexual harassment and about violations of harassment in the workplace to the human rights. And I mean, I just want to reiterate something that I said at a council meeting a while ago, is that, you know, Councillor Brenner had threatened me earlier last year that he would stick a knife in my back and slowly twist it.
Mayor,
and I would never
order,
and I would never know until
please.
He was pulling Counselor, it out.
Counselor.
Okay. So in my opinion then, I would just like to say that this is just another one of those twists of that knife in my back. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. I don't think that's an appropriate ending to your debate. Councillor Brenner.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. I can understand why the councillor feels it's about her, but I can tell you, I wish I could take credit for this, but I can't. The matter that is before us is correspondence that is consistent with the positions taken by this council, as well as the region of Durham, in support of the need for the province of Ontario to change the legislation for greater accountability for all elected officials.
I'm just figuring out how I can sharpen my sword and decapitate the
And that's covered up in the mandate of the Ontario Human Rights Commission. To be really clear, this is not an investigation into the conduct of Councillor Robinson. That's already been done by an integrity commissioner.
Notice how strong Mayor Kevin Ash did not address Councillor Robinson's allegation about a threat of possible serious injury from a knife slowly twisted into her back or about any investigations. Also, Councillor Brenner did not deny the accusation or defend himself. Is anyone paying close attention to this? Does the city-paid integrity commissioner have a great track record of conducting fair and unbiased investigations?
Are you in favor of the extension of, quote, strong mayor powers in Pickering? Kevin?
No.
Kevin Ash lied. Is this an observable pattern with Kevin? How many other times has he lied to the people?
If you are elected mayor, would you ask Queen's Park for these powers to be extended to you? And what would you use them for?
Thanks for the question. If I have the privilege of being Pickering's fifth mayor on October 24th, you will have a strong mayor. You won't need the powers being granted from Queen's Park. Would not support the extension of strong power responsibilities or asked to the city of Pickering.
He does it again. Wow.
Well, you say it's not in the report, but
it's not in the report. The director of city development.
Please don't raise your voice at me, Mr. Mayor. I don't deserve to have my voice raised to a moment of personal privilege. Please, please stop raising your voice at me.
I am not raising my voice at you. Please continue.
You're just raising your voice at me. Everyone will be able to hear it.
I'm not going down the rabbit hole.
This is not a rabbit hole. It's on the federal government website, Mr. Mayor.
Stop on the crazy street.
You should be very proud, Lisa. Very proud. Not cases you bring in here. Yeah. Unbelievable. You should be ashamed of yourself.
Is this a pattern where Mayor Kevin Ash speaks down and name calls his constituents?
I'm sorry. I need a moment of personal privilege. While you're talking, I have the mayor telling me you want to know what a conspiracy or right-wing theory is. They're talking about you like that up here right now. I've got mumbles here, and I have the mayor talking about how poorly this is. I appreciate your delegation, sir.
May I ask, if they're not secret meetings, why don't we have the minutes for them?
Because they're in Canberra and there's legal.
Okay, semantics again. So they're in camera. So for the record, in camera, secret, they're just semantics.
They don't publish the
exactly.
But they're for the agenda and they're orderly
so
done.
Just so we get that. Right. So they are secret because we don't have an agenda for
That's
them.
That's not actually true.
Well,
When there's things that to be announced in public, they're done. Okay, if there's legal advice given, that's not done.
Yes, but the whole meeting didn't have to be in camera.
We have four specific exemptions on the Municipal Act.
I know that.
And we do them in accordance with that, and the city clerk is independent of council in regards to that.
You were deputy mayor at one point, and what did you do? You broke the rules. Is that the way to run a city?
Pardon? How so? What are you referring to?
Kevin went on a trip when it was COVID. So I'm just saying, you don't always go, oh, I have experience and no, it's if you're going to play by the rules, you have to play by the rules. And you know what? Sometimes we need fresh look at it. You bring bad habits with you when you've been there for a long time.
Rules for thee, but not for me, according to Kevin Ash. Mayor Kevin Ash thinks it would be nice if Councillor Lisa Robinson followed the lead of Durham District School Board Trustee Linda Stone, who recently resigned from her position. Is Mayor Ash afraid of Councillor Lisa Robinson speaking the truth?
No, we're voting against all of the capital projects, all of current budget and expenditures.
That's correct.
Thank you.
And Rick... I recorded vote requested by. I'm just following the hockey game, and the Leafs just won in overtime. So they won in overtime. Yes. So, my apologies. I know the budget's important, but some other things.
The budget is very important. Hundreds of millions of dollars. I repeat, hundreds of millions of dollars. Wow.
Figuring out how I can sharpen my sword and decapitate the
Right. So that gives people a little bit of a view. I just want to bring to the attention of our viewers who maybe aren't members of Action for Canada yet. One, I would request that you join. And every time that we have a guest on, we provide information so that you can do further research or, you know, look into what is happening with this mayor and city council, maybe compare it to what's happening with your own mayor and city council and get ideas of what to do. But Lisa and others within the community are documenting things very well. And we're going to get into the fact that, as mentioned in there, that they said there'd already been an Ontario Human Rights Commissioner in a review, and that the Integrity Commissioner has investigated this matter that has led to Councillor Robinson being docked pay for 90 days. But in here is video evidence of that. I want to call it an interrogation. And then if you scroll down a little more, you see information about what it is that Mayor Ash has said. This is where this video is available, as well as Councillor Morris Brenner. You can take a look at who this gentleman is. And then what I found of real interest, and I wish we had hours to spend on the show to dig into what it is that Lisa is having to deal with. And he mentioned Strong Mayor. So we'll talk about Strong Mayor in a moment as well. But please look up this page. We'll have it in the description when we post this video. And listen to the recording when she had challenged council on the 15-minute smart cities. I mean, we're all very concerned about the global agenda, but this is the epitome of it, of a reckless mayor and council who, to me, quite honestly, I think are committing treason, and because this is just unlawful. All right, so let's get back to Lisa. Let's unpack a little bit of this. I'm not sure where you want to start, because like I say, there's policies about censorship. These are pretty harsh. You've got it on recording of a threat to decapitate the mayor. Why is this man even loose? Why is I say loose, but why hasn't he been arrested? And so where do you want to begin?
Well, I guess I can begin where my counsel turned against me for the three motions that I was trying to bring forward, if you like.
Sure.
So I guess that was back in May, I think it was, of last year. I went to a Durham District School Board where I know that they were speaking about the SOGI program, about flags and everything else. There was a big uproar for the parents, and I hadn't been to a meeting before. And so I decided this time I was going to go to a meeting. So I went to the meeting, and the parents were getting nowhere. They were asking questions of the trustees, and the trustees weren't answering the questions. They were shutting them down. So then the parents were like, you know, answer the question, answer the question. And everybody got kicked out of the meeting because the trustees didn't like that, of course, right? So as they got kicked out, you know, there were some gentlemen outside speaking and whatnot. And they said to me, like, you know, hey, Councillor Robinson, do you want to have the mic? So I said, okay, sure. So I went and I got my papers, and I decided I was going to read three motions to them. One motion had to do with, I didn't have any seconders at the time, so I was just getting the feel from the people, and then I was looking for seconders. So my first motion had to do with flag raising. I had decided, based on the town of Norwich's decision a couple of months prior, they only wanted to have governmental flags flown at governmental buildings. So I thought that was a great motion, because I am not for all these special interest groups. And I figured, you know what, based on the Supreme Court law decision back in 2015 for the state of neutrality. And I figured, and I know that, you know, our government is supposed to remain neutral. We're supposed to remain neutral, not put somebody's interest above another's. And like, you know, when you start flying special interest flags, you're creating a hierarchy. And that's just not right. So that was one of the motions that I read out loud. The second motion I read aloud had to do with the drag queen story time and with pride events. And I was hoping that I could get support on having age restrictions on these. And then my third motion had to do with, I'm not sure if anyone's aware, but over at the Pickering Recreation Center, during COVID, they decided to do a little bit of revamping of everything. So they have three change rooms. One is if you are a female and you're over the age of 18, and if you are a member, you can use the all-female washroom. And then they have another change washroom change room. That is, if you are a male and you are a member and you're over the age of 18, you can use the all-male member. All member, the all-male washroom change room. But if you are a member who's under the age of 18, or if you don't have a membership at all, no matter what age you are forced to use the universal change room. So let's just say if I was a member and I had a daughter and she was a member who's like 14, she could not come to the change room with me. She would have to go to the universal change room. And if I wanted to be with my child, then I too now am forced to use the universal change room. So my motion had to do with just giving every little boy, girl, man, child the choice to use either a biological bathroom or to use the universal change room, which is inclusive of all genders and or their families. Well, because I was bringing these three motions together, and it was just before Pride Month started, my fellow counselors started saying that I was transphobic and homophobic. So they wrote their report to the integrity commissioners, their complaint, and they said that I wanted to get rid of the universal washroom, which was a complete out and outright lie. They said that I wanted to ban all pride events and pride parades, which again was an out and outright lie. And then they said that I didn't want to fly the pride flag, which again, in my motions, never singled out any flags whatsoever. So again, that is a lie. So the integrity commissioner said that they were going to do an investigation. They found me basically guilty. And so they came to council and I had a chance to question the integrity commissioner. And that's one video that you need to see, because my very first question to the integrity commissioner was Councillor Brenner, Councillor Nagy, or Councillor Cook at the DDSB meeting when I spoke? And she was like, you know, Councillor Robinson, we've done a report. I'm not going into this. It's all in the report. You can take a look. And I'm like, it's not in the report. Was Councillor Brenner, Councillor Nagy, or Councillor Cook there at the DDSB meeting? And all of a sudden the mayor says, you don't have to, she's already answered that. She said she wasn't there. And I'm like, no, she didn't, but you just told her that, Mr. Mayor. So I know that there was zero investigation done because there's security guards that were there who would have told you what my behavior was like, because I just sat there in the front row. I didn't clap. I didn't put my hands up. I didn't do anything. But because I was sitting next to people, and actually Terry was one of them I was sitting next to at the time, they had said because I was sitting next to people that were disruptive in previous meetings, that I'm guilty by association. And so I was arguing the fact that, you know, there was no evidence and everything was based on double hearsay, the integrity commissioner's own personal view, and that was it, and her own opinions. And I mean, in a meeting that I had with her, she had called me a cis woman when I was having a conversation with her. And then I was telling her, she's like, well, why were you there anyways? And I'm like, well, you know, I have a child in the school board. I said, you know, they've got books in there where they have little boys, like, you know, doing fellatio on other little boys. And I said, do you think that's right? And she couldn't answer me, but all she could say to me was, well, what about How to Kill a Mockingbird? Or, you know, what about The Handmaid's Tale? Do you think those books should be banned too? So completely disregarded anything that I had to say. So I knew right there that she was biased, and this report completely confirmed it. So I am taking her to the judicial review, which will be coming up hopefully in the next few months. I don't have a date yet. But this is where all of that stems from. So I ended up losing my pay. So for 90 days just before Christmas, you know, single mom with a child. And they decided to take my pay away. And yet these are from people, our leaders in our community that talk about mental health and, you know, about helping community members. And yet they were willing, knowing that I had no other source of income coming in at the time, to sit there and take away anything that I could to provide for my family. And just before Christmas, I couldn't pay my mortgage for 3 months. I needed help to do that. I couldn't put food on the table for my child. It's really, really disgusting that these are the leaders of our community that, you know, go ahead and turn on their own. Because, I mean, they could have done anything else. They could have said, you know, until we find out and we have a judicial review or something, you know what, Lisa, how about, you know what, we just dock your pay, like, you know, a couple $100 every time you get paid, or how about doing some community service work? But no, they were all gung-ho to take away any source of income that I had coming in.
Yeah. Do you know, this just reminds me, it came to mind last week. I had Dr. Mackieson and we were talking about, not about turbo cancers, he's going to come on again and we're going to do that, but we were talking about Alberta Health Services as well as BC Health Services, and there was this collusion and cover-up for a Dr. De Villiers, and he was under investigation for sexually assaulting 3 children. And the evidence that he exposed, I mean, all of this is right there for us if we do a little bit of research, but they continued to pay this doctor hundreds of thousands of dollars while mm-hmm. he was under investigation. And yeah. I mean, the crimes that he committed, I mean, this does nothing compares and to the situation that you're dealing with. I mean, you are dealing with a situation that's a global agenda to sexualize children at the earliest age possible. And, you know, this deviancy is out on our streets, naked men, etc. So to be requesting that there be age restrictions is reasonable. And mm-hmm. in the weekly news update that I'll be doing after the show, there is going to be some review that I'm going to be doing on the drag queens as well. There is a high prevalence of sexual abuse amongst drag queens. John Euler, who specializes in sexual predation and counseling these individuals, and he knows the red flags. And he has clearly said that drag queens are sexual deviants. And yet en masse, mayors, city councils, in our public libraries, they're promoting the drag queens for young children to be present. And then, of course, the other point was, again, why in the world, if there wasn't sexual predators behind the policies at City Hall, wanting to see washrooms only for children under 18 years old, where many of them may come with a group of friends and be forced to go into these facilities without any parents at all. And so it's very concerning. We're 100% in support of you. That's why you got elected. And, you know, more and more of people who are sane and understand what we're up against are running for office and getting elected. But this is a real battle that you're immersed in, and you've paid a high price for that personally as well. And I hear that. Can we talk about the threats? I understand. Have you had death threats as well?
I have. I've had death threats a few times now, actually. So that's been very, very concerning. And then, you know, I've got some people on Facebook who come from fake Facebook accounts who decided they were going to talk about, you know, when I had a couple of people over at my house one day that are against what's happening in the schools and whatnot. And they have some flags and stuff on their cars. And they put on Facebook that these people were at my house. I mean, they're clearly watching my house as well. It's very, very concerning, especially when, like, you know, these are keyboard warriors that every time I do anything, they start jumping all over me, insulting me. And, you know, I don't know who they are. And so they're just hiding, lurking yeah. in the shadows. So,
they're
you
cowards.
Know, I have... They are. They're cowards. Anybody who, you know, has to hide behind a fake Facebook account or anything else, they're definitely cowards. I mean, come out and have a conversation with me. But
mm-hmm. Well, you're concerning. That means that you are doing good work, because if you were somebody who is cowardly, sitting as a city councilor, too fearful to speak up, even though within their hearts they agree, you know, they're not going to endure what you are. But if they would speak up, then there would be far less of this. And so we're just going to continue to encourage mayors and city councilors, trustees, stay in the game, keep up the fight. One of the critical things as well that I want to mention right now is an appeal to our viewers that The reason that we are putting Action for Canada chapters, we want to be in every town and community where there is a township, a mayor and city council, a school board, is because these elected officials need support and they need help. And our team is doing an amazing job in trying to assure them that they're not alone, and to try to help fight this battle within your communities. Each one of you has an obligation to show up at every city council meeting and see what is happening, to oppose these vile restrictions and policies that they're putting in place. Otherwise, you know what? You have no reason to complain. You're going to get exactly what's coming because you haven't put any skin in the game, like Lisa and myself and so many others are doing. So can you tell me as well, I understand that there was a further complaint recently because there's Black History Month, and we know that diversity, equity, and inclusion is being pushed by the UN, mass immigration. It was all part of the Global Compact on Migration and 17 Sustainable Development Goals. Some know them as 2021, 2030, 2050 agreement. And they are flooding Canada with third world immigrants and then elevating the talk about racism to shut down any dissent to the greater score of the 15-minute cities and taking our land rights away, et cetera, et cetera. So what was your reason for saying, you know, I don't think there should be, is it what that you didn't think there should be a Black History Month? And what was the reason for that?
Well, I wrote an op-ed for the Central newspaper, who I've become quite close with. And every week now I put in my own personal opinion piece in there. And yeah, Black History Month was coming out. And, you know, personally, I don't agree with Black History Month. What, first of all, because, like, you know, why do we have to put a color associated with a human being? Because I have always said that I do not segregate people based on the color of their skin, their religious beliefs, or their sexual preferences. I don't care what you do. To me, we're all humans and we should be working together and we should all be united underneath one flag. But that seems to, people just don't like the truth. And for example, like, you know, it's like, you know what Morgan Freeman said in one of his interviews, he's like, you know, why don't you stop calling me a Black man and I'll stop calling you a white man. He goes, why don't you call me by my name and I'll call you by your name. And then he said that he didn't want to regulate his whole entire self-being down to 1 month. And I completely agree with that. And he said to the Jewish person that was giving him the interview, he said, what are you? And he said, well, I'm Jewish. He goes, well, do you want to have a Jewish month? And he's like, well, no, I don't. And he goes, so why do you think I want to have a Black month? And you know what? I had a lot of people from the Black community reach out to me and they're saying, yes, Lisa, you know, where you're absolutely correct. I mean, if we're going to teach history, you know what? We need to teach Canadian history. And, like, you know, you do it all year long. You know, you don't have to do it based on the color of one's skin. A couple of weeks ago, I guess at the last council meeting, behind my back, after that op-ed came out, the mayor and council had decided they were going to gather the forces against me. So all of a sudden, they had 18 delegates that they arranged from behind the scenes to speak against me. And the first one was a Carrie and Fenn Foundation. And another one was, like, you know, the Anti-Black Racism Task Force from Pickering, another Anti-Black Racism Task Force from the Durham region. And they all got up there and they all spoke really, really ill against me and telling me to resign and this and that. But not one of them could mention one racist statement that I made in that op-ed, because there was nothing racist in it. Because as I said, you know, I go by my moral values and my integrity, and I don't segregate people that way. But the thing that people need to know is, like, the very first group that got up there and spoke, well, guess what? They got funded from the mayor's gala. Go figure, right? And another group that spoke from the Anti-Racism Task Force, well, you know what? They also get money from the city of Pickering. Last year, they got $25,000 for their group. This year, with the budget, because of the strong mayor's powers that we were not allowed to take part in, we just found out that they're getting $85,000 this year. So they're getting an increase of $60,000. And we had
what?
Zero. I mean, we had zero say in it. And so I gave a long speech at that one. I'm saying, well, like, you know, if we're going to give $85,000 to this group, are we going to give $85,000 to the Caucasians? Are we going to give $85,000, like, you know, to... And I named off all the groups. I must have gone through about 20 groups. And then I was done. All the mayor could say was that he looked over at our treasurer and said that, you know, Stan's about to have a heart attack, right? But it's true. I mean, like, you know, if you want to be in neutrality and the government's supposed to be in a state of neutrality, then, like, you know, if we're going to give to one group, then we need to give to all groups. But well, a $60,000 increase was just, it was mind-blowing.
Yeah, and then I got to emphasize again, I mean, this is our tax dollars being used for political pandering, social justice. We get one day to celebrate Canada Day. We get one day to celebrate our veterans. And yet the Muslims get the month of Ramadan. They get the month of Islam, I think, in October. Sikhs get, I think, the month in April. You've got Pride Month. You've got, I'm sick of it. I'm so sick of it. Let's celebrate Canada all year long and go according to the Constitution, says we're all equal under the law. We need to completely abolish the Human Rights Commission. It creates dueling laws, and it is causing a lot of division. It's very divisive. And these mayors, now tell, I don't think our viewers, many of them will not know what the term strong mayors means. Will you please explain that?
Well, strong mayor's powers is something that was given to the mayors. At first, Doug Ford had decided that he was just going to give it to the city of Toronto and the city of Ottawa, which would give them extra powers. So, like, you know, for the developers and that, because, like, you know how they're saying that there's such a housing shortage, right? So that would give them the power for MZOs. It also gives them the power to go ahead and do the budget for the whole entire city without the use of councillors. And so... our mayor, as you heard in the video, he said he wasn't going to use it, but he turned around and he did use it. So we had zero say in the budget this year, which is really, really concerning because, like, you know, I have the constituents coming to me and saying, you know what, I'd like to see this, 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 and this. And yet, you know, there was zero that I could do. Absolutely zero I could do. And I mean, ever since this happened, as soon as they announced the strong mayor's powers, with our mayor, Kevin Ash, saying he wasn't going to take it. At first, it was only going to be going to cities who had 100,000 people or more. And City of Pickering, I think, was sitting at like 94,000 or 96,000. But guess what? All of a sudden, like, you know, the next week it was announced that, hey, we have 100,000. So I knew that we were getting those strong mayor's powers before it was even announced, because this is what they do. They do it in stages where, you know, unless you can see what's happening, unless you can critical think and you can look a couple of steps ahead, this is how they bring it in, right? So nobody knew, and I knew right from the get-go that this was going to happen, right?
Well, isn't the strong mayor's powers, isn't that related to the UN agenda as well? Aren't there incentives? I think that, is it ICLEI, where there are strong mayors across Canada have signed up. If our viewers look it up, you can actually find out if your mayor has signed up as a strong mayor. And it is in line with the global agenda to take over the cities and take the power away from the people, if I can say it that way, and put it into the hands of the globalists. And the World Economic Forum, I mean, they said... it, during all of the really strong implementation of this, that the cities are closest to the people and that they are the ones that can implement the plan. And if you look at it through COVID, who could take away business licenses if you didn't comply with the jab, if you had your store open and you weren't mandating masks, or if you're a restaurant and weren't mandating the vaccine as well? Like, I mean, this is really, really serious that Mayor Ash has decided to take this step. And it, yeah, it's just very concerning.
Yeah, it's like having a bunch of like little dictatorships going along in every single municipality, right? Which is going to bring in your 15-minute cities. And of course, I mean, when the mayor in that video that you showed where he said, like, you know, stop going down crazy street and we're not going down the rabbit hole, you know, I was talking about the WEF. And he was telling me I was going on crazy street. And I'm like, but it's right here. I'll pull it up on the government's own webpage, right? On our site, like, you know, gov.ca at the very bottom in the footnotes, it says the World Economic Forum. didn't want to have anything to do with it, right? But even though it's there in black and white, but all of a sudden, like, you know, they just say it's all conspiracy theories and that, but people need to start doing the research is what they need to do. They got to start critically thinking.
I want them to watch your video as well when you were talking about the 15-minute city smart cities and the way they kept trying to shut you down, make you out like you were in crazy town. And you're like, well, it says right here. And there's no way to deny on the city's own policies and in their paperwork. It shows that they are incrementally moving towards 15-minute cities, which, of course, they like to come out and say, well, it's just a 15-minute city. It's out of convenience. Wouldn't we all love everything within our neighborhoods that's 15 minutes away? And that's the hook. That's part of the psychological military style warfare that we're going through is still there's too many Canadians who are blindly just accepting what they're saying, thinking this is a good deal. And what's your problem, Lisa?
That's exactly it. And like, you know, the couple of times that I did bring up 15-minute cities, because like, you know, going through the documentation and that, like, you know, when a new company comes in, like MNP, who want to come in and start working with, like, you know, technology stuff with the city of Pickering, it's like, well, then I go and I explore their websites. And then I go and see who their partner's on. And I mean, you can clearly connect the dots going along and you can see that they are bringing in an agenda. But when I mentioned that, of course, you know, I got shut down for one, for saying 15-minute cities, for saying smart cities. But yet, even though he sat there and he tried to really assassinate my character, let's say, you know, a few months prior, he actually did a video where they were talking about 15-minute cities. So like, yes. You know, if you're... Right? So he had actually done a video about 15-minute cities, but then he's telling me to stop going down Crazy Street. It was like, you know.
Didn't he deny it as well? Didn't he say, I've never talked about 15-minute cities? I mean.
Yeah, I asked him and I asked the CIO. I said, well, Mr. Mayor, could you tell me, have you had any kind of conversations with anyone at any level of government or anyone in general about 15-minute cities or smart cities? And I also asked the CIO, and I mean, they both said no, but clearly... They have, because videos are out there before I even pose the question.
No, they're like compulsive liars, and they keep thinking they're going to cover it. Like Trudeau, I mean, I'm going to be playing some videos. One is going to be on housing after my weekly news update. And like the rest of you, I can't stand to listen to his voice. And he knows exactly that what he's saying is nonsense. I believe that 100%. He doesn't even believe it himself, because it's all lies. And it is, you know, with the agenda that's like somebody, a child sticking their fingers in the ears going, la, 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 I don't hear you. And cookie crumbs all over the face and saying, I didn't eat any cookies. I mean, these are the kind of mentalities that we're dealing with. And when I look at Mayor Ash, he should be ashamed of himself. I don't know how him and Brenner can, you know, be out in public. And what's the legacy that they are leaving for their children? They should be so embarrassed. Well, I hope they're going to be arrested, because I think what they're doing is criminal, and especially Councillor Brenner for, you know, what exactly was this threat? What was the context when you were talking to him and he said, mentioned about stabbing a knife in your back?
Well, there's a few things, you know, we would just be having a conversation and like, you know, out of the blue, he would just say, you know what, Lisa, I could put a knife in your back. I could slowly twist it and you would never know until I was getting ready to pull it out. That was one thing that he said. And he said a couple of times, and you know what, I actually brought that complaint forward to the integrity commissioner, but because him and my other fellow council members had brought the complaint against me, it was completely dismissed by the integrity commissioner, saying that it was just retaliatory. And then I even brought forward the sexual harassment as well, because Councillor Brenner said to me on numerous occasions, well, I'm going to go back for a second. It was him I ran against in 2017, 2018. And back in that time, he had some people go through my Twitter posts and, you know, tried to make me look like I was Islamophobic at the time. because one of my tweets said, I said, you know what, go home to the Muslims. But it was based on, they were trying to bring Sharia law into Canada in 2017, 2018. I'm not sure if anyone remembers that. And I am not for having two separate laws for different people. You're in Canada, we have one law, and that's what it needs to be. But what he did, and the people that he had working for him, sending out his literature and whatnot, he had them take a whole bunch of my little tweets, put them together to make me look like I was a raging Islamophobic, right? And that's what he's done this time as well. So he did it back to me back in 2017, 2018. And he's also the one that has now started that I am transphobic and homophobic this time because of my motion. So, I mean, you see a pattern of him. And he's a very good manipulator. When I won the election, well, even during the election, when I was putting up my signs and everything, every time I turned around, he was there. And after I left the house and I put a sign up on the lawn, he would be right there behind me saying, hey, you know what, Lisa and I were a team. Can I put my sign up next to her? So they allowed it. So he was following me around, which was really, really eerie to begin with. I win the election, and then, you know what, I'm thinking, okay, you know, I'm not a vindictive person, so I'll put stuff, you know, whatever happens in the past happens in the past. Like, you know, I like to move on. And so I thought I would give him a try, and he was like, you know, now, you know what, I'll be your mentor, I'll help you. And I'm like, okay, well, I need a mentor, that would be great. And I can't go to Kevin Nash, and I'll tell you why in a second. But I thought that would be great. So, you know, we started doing some things. I brought some new initiatives forward. We'd go out. We would have a drink, like, you know, and a snack. And then, like, you know, he'd be looking at me because he's always staring at me. And he would look at me and he'd go, you know what, Lisa? He goes, I would have an affair on my spouse. And I'm like, silent for a minute. And he goes, but you know what? She would have to be younger than her and older than my daughter. And how old are you again, Lisa? So, you know, he said that to me a few times. Very, very uncomfortable. Of course, I didn't report it because really, who am I going to report it to? And then when I did decide to report it, like, you know, I went to the city clerk, I went to the CAO, I even went to our solicitor. And they said, you know, there was nothing that they could do about it. So file an integrity commission report. But I didn't want to rock the boat. You know, I just got newly elected into a position. And like, you know, I am a female and I am a strong, independent woman. But there's something, you know, I understand all those people that have had these sexual, you know, acts of violence against them and how they don't want to speak up. And this was the first time in my life that I didn't want to speak up because I didn't want to rock the boat being a newly elected official. And this was my mentor. So, yeah, it all got dismissed. So, I mean, that's something that has to go to human rights now. And I'm going to have to let them deal with that kind of stuff. There's also the psychological harassment also that he poses on me. So he crops my photos. So if we all show up at an event and if I'm standing at, like, you know, one end, they'll crop the photo to make it look like I wasn't at the event. I did a graphic for a food drive that I was doing and to give to our homeless shelter. And again, I did the graphic and very, very small. I had my name, like, you know, Councillor Lisa Robinson across the top. Well, I sent that out to all of my fellow colleagues and asked them to post it on their social media sites. He cropped my name off of that as well. I was like, you know, so I mean, that's really psychological abuse. And then when I started showing up at events, and even now when I show up at events or if I'm at City Hall, none of them talk to me. If we're getting our photos taken, they're all like, you know, moving their backs towards me, right? So, you know, I'm looking straight at the camera and they're all standing on the side, right? So, yeah, with their backs to me because I am starting to speak up. And that's a really sad thing. But between Brenner and I, it even goes deeper than that, because when the mayor was speaking right there about how he went away on vacation, he was the regional councillor at the time. And of course, all the councillors, this is the council before the one that I just got into, they were all like, you know, on their social media posts, stay home, you know, don't have your family over for Christmas dinners, this and that and the other, right? And yet, here he was, he had gone away on vacation. So Councillor Brenner had called me up, and even though I wasn't a counselor, and he goes, Lisa, he goes, you know, he goes, Kevin's away. And I'm like, well, how can he be away? And so he leaked it to me. So, of course, you know, I went to the newspapers and I said, you know, here we are. We have a regional counselor who's away while telling everybody to stay home. We had all those people that died in Orchard Villa alone. There was like, what, about close to 80 people, if not a little bit more. And then the army had to come in, I think it was, for them. Mm-hmm. So that was one thing. So once I did that and I leaked that, he actually called me back and he said, now, Lisa, he goes, the next thing you have to do is you have to ask yourself who else is away. And I'm like, well, I don't know, because I don't talk to these counselors. Well, he ended up telling me that Counselor Bill McLean was away and he was in Costa Rica because he had just had a house built and he's also a real estate agent. Well, I ended up calling him in Costa Rica. And I said, and he told me he wasn't on vacation. And I said, okay, well, when are you coming home? And he's like, well, what do you mean? I'm like, well, what's your return flight? What date are you coming home? Well, he didn't even have a return flight home. So, I mean, he was completely away on vacation again while telling everyone else to stay home. But the thing that I didn't know was that Counselor Brenner and Bill McLean were basically best friends. So he really had me do his dirty work for him. So I called out the mayor, who was, you know, Kevin Ash at the time, the regional counselor, and I called out Bill McLean. So, like, you know, going into this election and when I won the election, on election night when I won, I put my hand out to Mayor Ash and I said, you know, can we just put the past in the past? Because that's the type of person I am. And he said, sure. But clearly he can't put things in the past and he can't get over it. Even though I was completely manipulated by Counselor Brenner this whole entire time.
Well, and you're a whistleblower. I mean, you're exposing, yeah. You're shining a bright light. We did that once for a fella that was on a council back in, it was in the Maritimes, and it was a little sleepy town. The mayor and council were being extremely abusive to this councillor during the COVID lockdowns, and it went national. And because of it, this councillor finally, because he was a whistleblower, but they all think they're going to get away with it until you start shining this bright light on it mm-hmm. nationally. And so, you know, Mayor Ash and Councillor Brenner and the chair, man, was she rude to you during the integrity commissioner. What's her name again? Let's talk about her.
Yeah, that's Mara Nagy. Yeah, she's a city councillor in Ward 2 is Mara Nagy. Yeah, she horrible. Was extremely rude. Yeah, she was horrible. Absolutely horrible. But the thing is, like, you know, I guess when people sit in that chair for the meeting, because what happens is in city council is that the mayor always sits in his chair if it's a council meeting. But if we have committee meetings, which is like our executive committee, or if it is a planning and development meeting, we all share the responsibility. So we rotate depending on our last names. So Mara Nagy ended up being in the chair that day. And when I wanted to speak to it, of course, you saw how she was very, very rude to me and shut me down like she had the power. And then I even asked her, I said, like, you know, do you even know what a smart city is or a 15-minute city, right? I said, smart city. And she goes, sure, it's a sensor that you put in the bottom of your blue bin.
Yes.
I'm like, no, it's not. And she's like, yes, it is. And, like, you know, I just want to explain to her because, like, I know what a 15-minute city is. I know what a smart city is, right? And, you know, I just wanted to explain to her what the two of those are and how they amalgamate together. And that's what creates this whole, you know, dystopian type future
ecosystem
for us. Yeah. Right. And yeah, she just brings it down to a sensor in the bottom of your garbage pail. And I was like, you know, I can't win at this point. And of course, you know, the chair rules and you know what, that's it.
I know. I looked at her and when she opened her mouth and said that, I thought, I'm like, you got to be kidding me. I mean, if they would just read our 15-minute city notice of liability, they'd be more educated than they've ever been on this topic. And maybe they might raise their eyebrows and think maybe I should dig a little deeper into this. And I know you're very well versed on it. And as well on the surveillance that's going up around Pickering on odd on-ramps and off-ramps and the tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of dollars that's being spent on the surveillance cameras, like from the inside, can you give us as taxpayers an idea of what's that costing?
Well, I don't really know what it's costing yet, because I know that it's actually the police department that put them in. But I did call the police department. I asked them, like, you know, about these cameras that were popping up everywhere, because, yeah, you know, you have them on pretty much most of the on and off ramps going on to the highways and that. So I inquired about them. And of course, the police say, oh, we know nothing about it. Contact Durham Region. So I contacted Durham Region. And, you know, they got back to me and they said they don't know anything about it. Contact the police. So I contact the police again. And then all of a sudden they're like, oh, yes, yes, I know what that is. But no, it has nothing to do with surveillance. It has to do with because these seem to be hot spots where, you know, offenses have occurred, whether it be a shooting or whatever else. Right. But it's like, you know, I look at the timing of when they go in and when they say that there was shooting went in, but the shooting happened after the cameras were in. So, you know, they completely lied to me about that. But there's about 16 of them across Durham right now that I'm aware of, and I know where they all are. And I actually asked a question, are these capable of, like, you know, facial recognition, or are they capable of, you know, in the future having the facial recognition installed into them? And of course, the answer was no that I got back. But what I found very, very concerning was that I was having a one-on-one conversation, you know, an email with a person. And then all of a sudden, when I asked that question, all of a sudden, there was other people, including the mayor, on that thread. And then I would respond back and I took everybody else off of the thread and just responded back to the over to the police station again. And of course, they sent it back and they included everybody else on that thread. So, I mean, there's something going on there. I just don't know what as of yet.
Well, but. And this is another appeal to the police. I mean, throughout history, the only time that a country has fallen into tyranny is when the police and the military sided with the corrupt government. So we're making an appeal. This is your country too, guys, men and women. And you're here, you took an oath to defend, and you need to uphold our constitution and not worry about your job. Because mm-hmm. this is, you've got to go way beyond this to what is Canada going to look like in the future. And I started chuckling when you said about how these were hotspots for criminal activity, because I'm thinking about, was it the chief of police, was it of Toronto, who said, leave your keys at the door so the criminals, you know, won't break into your house and rifle through for the keys to your vehicle. They just want your vehicle. Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, they're really concerned about crime in Canada. I mean, it's through the roof right now. Yeah, no sincerity. Yeah. Okay, so oh, in closing, because I know that we're just over the hour here. I just want to talk about...
Already?
Yes. Yeah, I believe so. Yeah.
I haven't even gotten started yet.
I want to talk about finances, but I don't think people understand that the mayor and council have a fiduciary duty to manage the funds responsibly. And what Jeff Colvin will be telling next week about $100,000 TB that the mayor and council, somebody in the city had approved. And he went out and because he needed a TB and bought it for $13,000. And they were patting themselves on the back, the previous mayor and council, for this. And that he brought the spending down something like 20 or 30%. He brought taxes down in $15 million on it. It's a smaller town. And mm-hmm. so what I'm seen as horrifying throughout Canada on the spending federally, provincially, and municipally. And mm-hmm. so you had made mention in one of the videos, I'm not sure where I had heard it, regarding casinos or money that was being spent within yeah. the city. Do you want to explain mm-hmm. that?
Yeah, absolutely. As I said, we have really no control over the finances right now. And I mean, if we were to have another pandemic at this time, I mean, chances are, you know what, we honestly, I mean, I believe that we could go bankrupt. We got our casino in, and with the casino, I mean, we've been bringing in millions of dollars. And, you know, I was really, really hoping that when I got elected, I wanted to do a full snow removal program for the residents of Pickering, but that didn't happen. But what they did decide to do is give millions of dollars to Durham Region out of the goodness of our hearts. So we're just giving Durham Region money. And, you know, I tried to bring a motion forward to put a stop to that. And of course, it was ruled out of order because I can't we can't do anything now. It's already in motion. So, you know, until 2026, we're going to be giving millions and millions of dollars to Durham Region. And even though they are turning around, I'm so sorry about my dog barking. My son's supposed to be taking
care
of that.
So, I'm a dog person. I like it.
Yeah, that's Rosebud just saying hi. So, you know, I've tried to do something about it. So I actually tried to bring a motion forward the other day because we can't compel a future council to stop giving the Durham region money. So I just wanted them to stop and think about it and, you know, possibly don't give them any money because, I mean, that money belongs in the hands of the taxpayers and they keep on raising the property taxes higher and higher and higher. And this could help offset it, right? But it was ruled out of order the other day. So I'm very, very sad about that because, like, you know, I'm doing everything I possibly can. I've also been the only one that voted against any kind of property tax increase because they are spending our money very frivolously right now. We just put in, we just voted on, it's going to cost, I think, $64 million to bring in the Pickering Heritage Community Center. $64 million. And the reason why we had to push this through right away is because there were two grants that were up. One was for like $12.5 million, and the other one was like for $4 million. So in order for us to get $16.5 million, we had to spend $60 million, over $60 million to get that money. And I was the only one that voted against that because, in my opinion, I mean, that's crazy, especially when we don't have the money right now. We're going into debt huge to go ahead and do that at this time. Other things like we just spent over $90,000 on two pieces of artwork. So one of them was for in front of one of our neighborhoods called Steeple Hill. We had... who is that singer that did the Rainy Day? Gordon Lightfoot. So in the Steeple Hood neighborhood, all the street signs are named after one of his songs, right? I guess the developer wanted to do that. So since he passed away last summer, Councillor Brenner had decided, like, you know, let's put up some kind of a monument for him. Well, Gordon Lightfoot has zero ties to Pickering, like zero, zip, nothing. And I was speaking to a developer that's going to be building pretty much right across the road in one of the plazas there. And he said that he would put in a monument or something that we wanted at no cost to the taxpayer. So I brought that forward to save us over $60,000. And it, too, was turned down. I was really, really shocked. And then at the same time, the same night, we spent another $30,000 plus so we could put a piece of artwork in our chambers, over $30,000. And, like, you know, I told them, like, you know, we've got the huge lineups at the food banks, you know, and they can't even keep food on the shelves right now because they can't do it, right? And here we are spending over $90,000 in one night for two pieces of artwork. Well, you get Councillor Nagy, Councillor Cook, and Councillor Brenner saying, well, oh my God, it's for mental health. And it's like, how is that for mental health? Looking at a piece of artwork does not help you with your mental health. What helps with your mental health is creating artwork. So it's a known fact that when you create artwork, like if you're drawing, you're coloring, you're doing something like that, painting, creating something, that's what helps with your mental health. Not looking at something in our chambers. And I can tell you, nobody goes into our chambers other than going to a council meeting. So it would just sit there. No one would appreciate it anyways.
That are blocked anyways. But what really helps your mental health is to know you can pay your mortgage or your rent and put food on the table and provide for your family. That really helps your mental health. And, you know, it's just like, it's so criminal. So You know, I hope that what we're doing in these last weeks, we've had David Lindsay on talking about corruption in Kelowna with the mayor and council and them trying to shut him down and put him in jail. We had Dr. Mackey's on last week talking about corruption within our healthcare system and provincially because, you know, elected officials both in BC and Alberta, it's every province, but are involved in what's happening within AHS and our health officials, not just with all this pedophile, you know, things that are going on, but also, of course, the COVID fraud and the means to take over our countries. Now we've talked about Pickering, Ontario, and the corruption that's going on there. I mean, this is a common thread throughout Canada. And Canadians do need to take responsibility for not committing themselves to helping good people get elected. So again, I'm going to appeal to our viewers, join Action for Canada, become a chapter leader. If there isn't one in your community, check out our chapter, Action for Canada chapter page. If there is a chapter there, get involved. And we are also reaching out to the churches in every single community because those are tons of bums on seats every Sunday that are voters. And we're trying to inspire pastors to talk about getting the Christians out to vote. And we can win upcoming elections. In the last election, a year and a half ago, it was BC, I think Manitoba, Ontario, and somewhere, I believe, in the Maritimes, New Brunswick or something, that all had elections. And we happened to get a number of our chapter leaders elected as school board trustees. So this can be done. But it's not going to be done by saying, you know what, summer's coming up and I want to spend time with my family and, you know, whatever your other excuses are, this doesn't involve me. But you can feel the noose squeezing. And I'm working 7 days a week. Lisa, I'm sure you're working 7 days a week. And I don't think it's fair that a small minority of us are carrying the weight and the burden of this. So other ways that you can participate in this, if you can't physically participate in it, you can financially support Action for Canada. We have other legal actions that we're commencing in the backgrounds. You've got somebody like Lisa, which in the description, I will provide your, I think you have a Gives and Go or something, Lisa?
I do have Gives and Go, yes, because my lawyer fees are starting to rack up now. And actually, he just called me today. So yeah, because, you know, we've got to win this judicial review. Once we win the judicial review, then, like, you know, I can start moving forward and start putting charges against them for things that I've been seeing that's been happening. I mean,
yes.
I just mentioned the other day, and actually our city solicitor actually sent me an email today and wanted me to talk about it with him because, you know, just the other day, as I mentioned, like, you know, we're not allowed to do video recordings in our chambers anymore. They took that away along with the question and answer period. Well, I have gone through some videos myself and some other people, and I've already found numerous, you know, video clips that have, you know, where there's been time jumping or where it's been white noise for the longest time. And then all of a sudden, then they say that, you know, there's some kind of a problem, right? A technical issue. But the time jump is something that's really, really scary. And there's also been moments where somebody's speaking and when you know that it's not quite true what they're saying or it shouldn't have been said, then they manipulate the sound and they turn it really, really low so nobody hears it, right? So we found patterns in it like that already. And, you know, with now not allowing anybody else in there to record it, it's going to make it very, very easy for them to start manipulating. Not saying that they're going to, but if they wanted to, they could absolutely manipulate, like, you know, the narrative that's going on. And I brought that up the other day. I asked them in the last council meeting, I said, do we have a secondary backup that, you know, somebody else can control other than the city of Pickering? Because, you know, we need to have that in order for democracy to make sure that everything is on the up and up, because it's too easy for them to control the narrative otherwise.
Oh, that's their censorship. It's corruption. They're covering for their corruption. And they've got to understand. And I think the people's voice is rising that they've got to be very clear. They work for us. It's our tax dollars paying for them, and they're insubordinate. They should be fired. We don't like them, and they're nasty. They're criminals. They're crooks, and they're causing a lot of harm to the community. And because they've got their big fat salaries, I guess, or from whatever they're getting under the table, they're not considering the fact that many people in the community, every time they spend $30,000 or $30 million, whatever it is, on surveillance or whatever it is that they feel on the whim, is taking food away from children and from the elderly and from people in their community that can hardly make ends meet right now. It is deplorable what this mayor and city council are doing. So I'm really glad that you came on the show and that we can expose this. Are you aware as well that you, I would even say you have a duty to record or find a way to record all in camera meetings, any meetings, as long as you're not posting them publicly, say an in-camera meeting. But if it is for evidentiary purposes, if you are part of that meeting, you are permitted to record it. And I just want to let our viewers know as well, if you're part of a conversation, if you go in to meet with a mayor or city council, you can bring along a recording device with you. As long as you're part of that conversation, by law, you're allowed to record, and don't let anybody tell you different. But it doesn't mean that you can go and post this. Use wisdom, because I believe eventually that whatever is restricting some police departments not to press charges, who want to press charges, I believe that there's going to be a release, and I believe some people are going to be going to jail, and we really want to be ready when that happens. So in closing, Lisa, I am going to want to have you back on the show. We're going to do an update. You just let me know when you've got some big news, and keep recording and keep posting. I encourage people again to follow Lisa on Twitter at Life Liberty. Say it again, Life Liberty Lisa.
Life Liberty Lisa, yeah. And then my YouTube is just Lisa Robinson. So I post everything on YouTube there. So if you want to catch up on some of my videos as well, it's probably easier to find them there. But yeah, follow me on Twitter. That would be great.
Okay, awesome. Well, God bless you. We're going to be praying for you, and we pray that justice will prevail. And I know the next election is a little ways away, but now is the time to start preparing and getting people ready to debate and do whatever they need to, and start joining Action for Canada, because we need about 1,000 people to go out door knocking and then we can win any election. I mean, guys, we don't have to be living under tyranny. Honestly, we're still the majority, and we need to take advantage of that while we have the chance. So thank you so much, Lisa.
No, thank you. And yeah, everyone, you know what? We are the majority. And I mean, I can tell you that for a fact, because as I'm sure as you are, I have people reaching out for me from every single province has reached out to me. And now even people from the States, they're reaching out to me and giving me words of encouragement, sending, you know, messages to my council and trying to get them to stop and that. But a lot of words of encouragement. We're definitely the majority. The only thing is like, you know, you might feel that you're alone sometimes, because there are a lot of people who are afraid to speak up because they are afraid of being called the names, being ridiculed, because some of these people will actually target you at your jobs and try and get you fired. So, I mean, I understand people not speaking up, but everyone needs to know that you're not alone, where you might think that you're all alone in this, but like, you know, there's a lot of us that think that we're all alone, and together we're stronger than ever.
You are, and you're making a difference.
Majority. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Keep speaking the truth. Thanks so much.
Thanks, guys. Thank you so much for having me on. Bye, guys.
Bye. Wow. Didn't I say that? That's an amazing show. I'm so excited to be exposing the corruption that's going on in these municipalities. I think it's really, really important. I think it's important that these people understand that we're going to recognize them when they go to the grocery store. We are not talking about in any way condoning any kind of violence, but it is all right to go up and give your opinion that you think that, you know, they don't deserve to be in their position, and to remind them that they work for us. Our guest next week is going to be Mayor Jeff Colvin from Chestermere in Alberta. We are going to be exposing more municipal corruption. He has a huge story to tell. I can't wait to have him on, so register in advance. And then I'll close with these two verses. They're both from Psalm. So Psalm 14:1, it states, "Fools say to themselves, there is no God. They are corrupt and commit evil deeds. Not one of them practices what is good. And the next verse is from Psalm 146, 3:5-6. Don't put your confidence in powerful people. There is no hope for you there. But joyful are those who have the God of Israel as their helper, whose hope is in the Lord their God. He made heaven and earth, the sea, everything in them. He keeps every promise forever. And the reason I'm bringing up those verses is because we could put our hope in man and think that definitely it says in the Bible that God created the 12 tribes of Israel and he appointed leaders over those tribes. So we are to care about politics, but we can't put our hope in an individual. We need good, godly leaders in Canada. And it's not that we're putting their hope in man, but we're putting the hope in God who is in that man, who we get elected. And if that is a good, godly man of character, he is in the Word of God. That means that honesty means something. That means that integrity means something, and ethics. And so that's just my encouragement. That was a big weekly news update. I hope that this has been informative. Like I say, you're not going to be hearing this in mainstream media. And so I'm asking you to share this information with as many people as possible. And as well, if there's parts that you want to take out of that and have a conversation with elected officials and challenge them on this information and say, why are you promoting all of these NGO groups? Why are you taking millions of our dollars to promote Black History Month? Why are you holding up these organizations and spending millions of our tax dollars on radical ideologies such as the trans ideology that is mutilating our kids? All right, you have a say, you have a voice, these people work for you, but you have to also participate and do your civic duty by having appointments with these elected officials, because it really is making a difference. And if a minority of our team at Action for Canada can be changing the trajectory over these last years, think what we can do if there are tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands of more Canadians supporting us and actually being mobilized. All right. We love you. We're here. We're working so hard on your behalf. And we just thank God for you. And I just want to say, God bless you. And I'm appealing to God to bless Canada and this nation.
Today's episode was sponsored by Galatians 5:1 Freedom Coffee. Galatians 5:1 is the first freedom-fighting coffee company focused on bringing unity back into community by bridging the divide with gourmet coffee. It goes beyond fueling the fight for freedom. Action for Canada receives 10% of all coffee sales made. Galatians 5:1 offer a wide selection of coffee products. Go to Galatians51freedom.coffee to choose your own personal coffee experience made just for you.
If you are here today pursuing freedom and righteousness.